Go ahead and open your Bibles to Jude chapter 1, and we're in verses 14 to 16. Now, one of the things Jude is bringing out to light here in Scripture is that there's going to be a judgment that comes upon the apostates, the ungodly, but I also wanted to touch a little bit on how it affects us as his children. And so I want to just prepare us for the day of judgment. And so I want you to see as he's speaking, he's quoting from the book of Enoch. And remember that the book of Enoch is an apocryphal book. In other words, there's certain pieces that fit the scriptures, but there's other ones that do not. And so here, Jude, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is quoting from verses that are true and effective. Okay, and so it is not canon, the book of Enoch, but it does give us some information that we can relate to what Scripture says. And that's what we're going to cover today. So we must prepare for this day of judgment. Even if we're Christians, remember, we're never to be idle. We're never to say, oh, I'm already saved, I'm going in. There's work to be done. Especially right now with everything that's coming up. We've got elections, we've got other things that we need to be praying upon to make sure that we be able to have godly men and women in positions of authority in our country. So don't drop your guard. Keep praying, keep seeking the Lord, and be ready for the day of judgment, even as a Christian, okay? So let's go to verse 14 and begin today's study on preparing for the day of judgment. It was also about these men that Enoch in the seventh generation from Adam prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones. And when he speaks of holy ones, he's talking about saints, the church. Okay, so the first point I want to leave you in today's teaching is that the day of judgment is a calculated and specific event that will take place. Okay, and Enoch spoke of this day, and he spoke of it before the flood came, remember, and he also spoke about it for us in these days, in the last days. And so what he's saying here is that apostates and the ungodly will be judged. And so will we, but we will be judged in a different way under grace and mercy. Okay? And so Enoch was the seventh after Adam, remember, born. And so it was Adam, Seth, Enosh, it was Kenan, and then it was Mahalalel, and then Jared and Enoch. And you can find all these names in Genesis chapter 5. Okay? So I want us to go there real quick, because one of the things is we know that Enoch was mentioned in the scriptures, and I want us to see a little bit about how his life was mapped out by God or destined by God. Let's go to Genesis 5, 18 to 24. And then Jared lived 162 years and became the father of Enoch. Then Jared lived 800 years after he became the father of Enoch, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Okay, so we see that, right? He's also mentioned in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 5. Let's go there. But by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, in other words, raptured. And he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. So one of the persons who was prepared to be taken up was Enoch. In other words, he was ready because he obeyed Scripture. See, and Jude, as he's quoting from the book of Enoch, one of the things that he was doing was letting us know, look, it's coming. It's specific, it's calculated by the Lord. Everyone will be judged one day. And the church will return with God when we do judge the nations now. Isn't that wonderful? You and I will come back to judge the nations with the Lord. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 2 and 3. Says, or do you not know that the saints will judge the world? If the world is judged by you, are you not competent to constitute the smallest law courts? Do you not know that we will judge angels, those fallen angels? How much more matters of this life? So one of the things when we come back with the Lord, you know what? I'm already picturing it in my head, and I'll be on a white horse, right, coming with my long locks again, my bulging chest, right, and I'll be like, yeah, here we come. I'm just kidding. One of the things is we will return with the Lord. It will be exciting. It will be a blessing. But also it will be sad because many people will be judged in the process, right? And so I know you guys don't think I had hair, but I did at one time. All right? And so this specific date for the judgment of the ungodly will be set by God, and Jesus will be that judge. See, the Father released all responsibility to the Son. And he said, because you are me and I am you, I'm going to give you all authority to judge the world, right? And so he will be that judge. Let's go to Acts 17, verses 30 to 31. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to all men that all people everywhere should repent. Because he has fixed a day, right, specific and calculated, in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. That is Jesus Christ. He will have all authority upon judgment day. And one of the things that will happen, judgment will come upon the apostates and the rebellious people that all came against God, and the ungodly will possess stubborn hearts, rebellious hearts, and this is why he has to come and finally say, enough. You don't want anything to do with me. It was interesting. Yesterday I did a Christian quinceañera, and there were some people who came in that were not saved, that were friends of some of the people there. And one of the persons that went there said, Pastor's going to give you a good message on how to repent and come to Christ. You guys need it. He told the guys that as they were coming in, this is what the quinceañera is for, right? And so the guys go, no, not for me. It's too late. And so we told them, it's not too late. You can always come to Christ. Always remember that. But that was their attitude walking in. And that attitude is very prevalent in our society today. You guys have been saying that for thousands of years. You guys have been saying that Jesus is coming and are not in any way proving that he is. So it's a joke to us. It's like we can live our life. We don't care. And there's no need to repent because we're living high on the hog, right? We have so many things. But interestingly enough, my heart broke for these guys because that attitude is the attitude that will finally take people to destruction and into the lake of fire. And it's sad for me, right? Because today, not too many people preach about hell. They don't want to preach about sin because they'll step on toes. But you know what? Scripture is very clear on that. And Jesus spoke more about hell than any other person in the scriptures. Why? Because he wants people to avoid it. But the arrogance behind men, these are the men that are going to be judged. And guess who will judge them? Jesus Christ, our Savior, right? Let's go to Acts 17, 30, 31. We already did. Okay, let's go to Romans 2, 5 now. Look at what it says. But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. See, people who are rebelling right now, they're storing up wrath. And there's a cup of wrath of God that is filling slowly every day, and it's going to overflow one day, and he's going to bring that judgment day where he says, that's it. Continue to have rebellious hearts, stubbornness, right? Continue to have rock-hard hearts and reject me, and you will find out I'm going to render to every man according to his deeds. And this is something that we will all pay for our deeds. There's consequences for how we live our life. And as Christians, right, one of the things I want you to understand, be careful how you live your life, because you want to be blessed when you go into heaven. Your works will not save you. Of course, it's your faith. But you want a high quality of life in heaven where you enjoy it, where you love it, and you've done the things that God told you to do so that you have that blessed assurance when you're in his presence. Okay? On that day, all these people who have hardened their hearts against God will pay. And just like in the days of Noah right now, how are people reacting? Well, it's all copacetic, right? I'm cruising, man. I don't need the Lord. But that's because of all the indoctrinations of evolution and humanistic teachings and all the other things that are going on. They think they're self-sufficient. But God is going to show them, no, you're not. On that day, every knee will bow. On that day, every tongue will confess that I am Jesus Christ to the glory of God the Father. I am King, right? And so look at verse 16 in Romans chapter 2. God will judge the secrets of men. They may hide them from us, but they will not hide them from Messiah. On that day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Jesus Christ. Just think about that. If our God knows everything that is hidden and secret, can we hide anything from him? Never. We have to live life sincerely and transparent before him. We cannot be Christians in church one day and then out there live another way. Rather, who we are, right, before him, or we're going to face judgment for not being those people who are walking with him. That's what's going to happen to the apostates. They outright just say, I don't want anything to do with God. They defect from the truth. They turn their backs on God. But Christians should be living a life that they're separated from this world and they're holy, going after the holiness of God. Not to save them, but to honor their Father. You know what I mean? And so it's very difficult for people to understand judgment day is coming, both for the believer and the non-believer. And we have to be ready for that. Let's go to Revelation chapter 6. It describes what's going to happen when the sixth seal is opened during the great tribulation. And I want you to see this. Verses 15 to 17 of Revelation chapter 6. Then the kings of the earth and the great men and the commanders and the rich and the strong and every slave and free man hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Who's going to be able to stand in the presence of the God who created everything we see and don't see around us? No one will. The fear of God has been lost, but such was in the days of Lot as well, remember? People didn't have that fear for God anymore. And every person will understand when God comes, it'll affect the whole earth powerfully. There's no one who's going to go without seeing that majestic power in action. And so when you see the effects it'll have, it'll cause worldwide convulsions, catastrophes. There'll be major earthquakes like never seen before in humanity. And people, right, will understand that all nature will be affected when God comes back and he will shake this earth powerfully. I tremble at that, just knowing that there's people left behind that I care about that are going to face a righteous and holy God. This is why as Christians we have to be so active right now in ministering to our homes, to our families. There are so many people investing in houses but not homes. See, a house is just a house. But families that dwell within that house, when they're taught the scriptures of God, the principles of God, that is the place that you want to create, not the house that you buy, not the property. It's more important to have a home alive, thriving with the word of God within it, having God's peace and provision in that home where you lack nothing. How many people are killing themselves for what's going to burn up? How many people are dying, right, working for corporate America and dying of heart attacks, can't even enjoy their retirement? The focus is more on building godly homes, and we as Christians better work hard on that because many of our kids are being bombarded by the doctrines of the world and the philosophies of the world, and they're being led astray from God. That's designed by Satan because he knows the Lord's return is very close. So start investing deeper into your families. Start investing deeper into your heavenly investments because that is what matters. Remember, we're going to come before God one day. And people are mocking this prophecy of God's return and judgment day. They think it doesn't exist, but it's specific, it's calculated. God has to do it because left to themselves, men will eventually destroy themselves. And God has to step in and say enough. Okay, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Many people are saying, he'll never come. It's always been this way. And God reminds us, there is a specific time he's going to deal with everyone, believers and unbelievers. This is now, beloved, the second letter I am writing to you in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder. that you should remember the word spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles, says Peter. Know this, first of all, that in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. Isn't that the attitude right now in our world? Yeah, right, he's coming. You guys are just believing a lie. But I'm here to remind you, it is specific. And it is planned out by God. And it will happen. We have to make sure we fight for our families, guys. Do not put your Christian values on the side or on the shelf when it pertains to the home. Make sure you fight for our families. See, remember that Enoch was giving this prophecy thousands of years, way before this happened. And even through the flood and everything that came with it, there's a day that's coming. How many of our children are ready for the coming of God? How many of our children are ready for judgment day? And then that's one of the things that God says, look, get to work. I am coming very soon. And we better make sure we're planting seeds of faith in our families. Do not ever get tired. I know sometimes, you know, we think, these guys are never going to come to the Lord. They're so full of the world now. But so were we. And look at where God has us now. We have to remember to continue to fight for the souls of our families. I don't care if it's an uncle you've been praying for 20, 25 years, a brother, a sister. Do you never give up on them. Your Christian faith is to continue to press forward and persevere. It's never too late. Just like these men said, there's always time for people to come to Christ. Don't get discouraged. That's what the enemy wants. You continue to work hard, planting in the lives of the people around you. You continue to prepare and look out for the signs that the Lord is coming soon, and make sure you interject God's word into every single member of your families. And you will see many people will come. There's people we don't know about that God has ordained to get saved. We don't know, right? So we don't just stop just because we're saved. We don't take that Calvinistic view, right, to where we think, oh, just it's done. He's predestined. There's nothing you can do, no. Because he knows who's going to get saved. We don't. Our part is to go and carry forth the word. In faith, the results are up to God. But we prepare. Amen? So that's our first point today. The day of judgment is a calculated and specific event. Point number two, the day of judgment will be universal. I want you to see that. Verse 15 of Jude chapter 1. To execute judgment upon all, and to convict all the ungodly of their ungodly deeds, which have been done in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. Okay, so one of the things, he's going to execute judgment upon all. It's universal. He's going to convict all the ungodly of their ungodly deeds, and he will execute judgment upon all. In other words, no one's going to escape his judgment. None will get away with it. Living a lie, filling up that cup of wrath that God has, will eventually bring forth his final judgment. Just as the flood destroyed everyone who was outside the ark, just like fire destroyed everyone in Sodom and Gomorrah except for Lot, his wife, and two children, right? Two daughters. But notice how the word ungodly is mentioned four times in this one verse. Four times in this one verse. In other words, Judgment Day will be a day of ruin and destruction for the rebellious, for those that come against God. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. The earth is reserved for fire. The heavens are reserved for fire and for that day of judgment. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. But by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Okay, I want you to see that because it's important. And one of the things that you will notice when God says that, man, I mean it. I've been merciful though. I've been giving grace and mercy for thousands of years, and yet people have never taken me up on it because they're so proud and so full of themselves. The more time goes on, the more humanism takes place, the more persons think they're self-sufficient apart from God. But look at what verse 15 says about that. It says, he will convict the ungodly of their sin. Go back to verse 15. He says, and to convict all the ungodly of their ungodly deeds, right? One of the things about what it's saying there, when it talks about the word to convict the ungodly of their sins, in other words, he will convince them. In other words, he will provide the evidence of all their sinful life. It's like a giant tape that will be played of your life right before God. And it's like us, right? When we see things sometimes in our life that have gone by so fast, it's like a video, right, that you see. I remember when I was a kid, I remember in different stages of my life, it's like a great video. God will have all the proof to convince you of your sin. In other words, no one will be able to say, I never knew, I didn't know. He says, no, I'm going to show you exactly in the stages of your life to convince you of your sin. Isn't that powerful? God will do that because he cares, and he says, look, I gave you plenty of opportunities. I will provide that evidence of truth of your sin, and I will have to declare you guilty because you never took me up on my offer of redemption. Not only that, he will also pass sentence on every single ungodly person. He has to sentence them because he's a holy God, or else he would be unjust. Then he has to also execute their punishment. What is going to happen? Well, you're going to go into the lake of fire because you were so rebellious. And who will be that judge that declares that? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He will be that God. See, one day he will be given all the honor due to him. Right now, people are blaspheming, mocking, laughing, you know, coming against him, just like they did before he went to the cross. But he will not be mocked. And one of the things is he will be given his rightful honor. And when people come before him, they have no idea who they're in the presence of. How are you going to respond when you see God face to face? It's going to be a tremendous day, isn't it? But the beautiful part about it, he's given us the way to be able to live lives that honor him. So why mess around with your Christian life? It's not going to bring you anything good. Sin never brings forth anything but its payment, death. That's it. So as we live for Christ, there's work to be done. We got to roll up our sleeves and we got to get busy. And we have to keep every single day in focus. But he will be that judge and he will be honored, believe me. Let's go to John chapter 5. Verses 22 and 23. God has given Jesus the responsibility for judging all the world because he is a just God and there's no injustice in him. For not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son. I and the Father are one. So that all will honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Very clear, right? Jesus will be honored because of what he did on the cross for us and because how he saved so many human beings that put their faith and trust in him. And because he's a just God, I want you to understand, it's not like our earthen courts where there will be Jewish juries and earthly people judging cases. Because he is a just God, he doesn't need a jury. And because of that, he's going to sentence everyone fairly and justly. Nobody can say, oh, I was gypped, right? Or these people just didn't like me. No, it's because he's going to give you the evidence first, then he's going to show you why he has to sentence you, because you denied the power of God. See, as Christians, that's another thing. We can be hypocritical. We can be someone else, but eventually we cannot hide it from the Lord. And I fear that. Because if we're sincere and we really want to go after the heart of God, we're not perfect, but we do go after the Lord in brokenness and repentance for what we've done to hurt him. We cannot hide it, guys. And one day we will be before this holy, righteous God. Even that isn't taught anymore. The righteousness, the holiness of God. And we will one day give an account to him. Okay? So, I want you to understand this, because when we get judged, there will be a prosecutor. But there won't be any defense. That's interesting, right? Because he is so fair, so just, he doesn't need anyone else behind him when he brings forth judgment day. And every mouth will be silenced. They will have no case once he provides that evidence. Romans 3:19, let's go there. Everyone will know the gravity of their sin. This is why it's important to come to him. Apostates, ungodly, rebellious people will find that out one day. Instead of receiving God's mercy, they're going to receive their sentence. It says, now we know that whatever the law says, he speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be what? Closed. It's going to be shut. No case. And all the world may become accountable to God. Isn't that amazing? If you know people, like I know people, there's a lot of people that love to talk. On that day, mouths will be silenced because they're before the righteous king. Can you imagine the accountability? Everyone will understand what a holy and precious God he is. And on this judgment day, there will be no appeals. Nobody can say I was unjustly tried, just like they do here on earth, and they get away with a lot of things. No appeals. Once the sentence is made, it is done. And it's because one of the things is God provided many, many opportunities for each human being to say, I am wrong. But they hardened their hearts because they were selfish, rebellious, hardened of heart. And God will bring that out to light. Remember, no appeals in God's courtroom. And because humanity will be dealing with the highest court in existence, the Lord will have every record of every life ever existing. Can you imagine that? Every record. And he doesn't have to go through file boxes. He's the sovereign king. Think about that. What size is our God that he can keep all records of every human being? And nothing escapes him. That is amazing to me when I start thinking about these messages. The Lord will have a record also of all the apostates and the ungodly and all the harsh things they said about him and how they disrespected him and how they ridiculed him. He will have all those ready. Just imagine every insult that's ever been given against God, every blasphemous word, he says, I'm going to hold these guys accountable, apostates and the ungodly, because they refuse to receive the mercy of God. I want to give you an illustration this morning. Think of someone arrested for a crime with a date to appear in court, but he made no preparations for his appearance before the judge. That person would be called a fool, right? For not preparing. The apostates, the ungodly, are fools because God has given them plenty of chances to come to him and they refuse. Christians shouldn't be foolish with their lives. We already know what's written. We already know what's in the Word. And we should not be playing with our lives once we come to the Lord. We should not step on the blood of Christ. We should not be living lives that dishonor him. We know he's told us. But it's up to us if we're going to draw the line or not. But the thing is, prepare your heart. Do not be foolish. Prepare for his coming and be ready so that when he comes, he will bless you tremendously. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. This is why it's so important to understand God's grace, because when you receive it, you can never repay him back for it. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, the one who paid the debt for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments, right? We live a life preparing for his coming. We're always ready, okay? Now, for the Christian, judgment day is very different. You and I are going to be judged for our rewards. You and I are going to be judged for the things that we did with no selfish motives in mind, with no strings attached, that we really did it all because we love our Lord. Okay, the ugly things, because of his grace and mercy, because of what he did on the cross, will be burned in that spiritual oven. that he puts our works through. And he will only reward us for the things that we did that are for his glory. Now, one of the things, we will all appear before the judgment seat. But the judgment seat we appear before is the Bema seat of Christ. It's not the great white throne judgment of the apostates and the ungodly. The Bema seat is very important to understand. We have to come before him one day, and he will expose everything we did. But in his mercy and grace, because we believe Jesus did die in our place, he washes all that ugliness away. And he washes you white as snow. Praise God for that. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat. That word, judgment seat, is Bema of Christ. So that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Okay, so we will all come before this judgment seat of Christ, but it'll be for rewards. Where do we see this in Scripture? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 to 15. According, and remember this, to the grace of God, which was given to me, like a wise master builder, says Paul, I laid a foundation and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. For no man can lay a foundation under than the one which is laid. In other words, which is in Christ Jesus. That's who saves us. Now, if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and straw, each man's work will become evident. For the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. That spiritual oven I was talking to you about. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through the fire. In other words, you're covered, but you'll lose out on a lot of the blessings that God had when you're not living your life the way you should be living. And when you build right with precious stones, the things that fire can't destroy, then you're putting your life, your Christian life, based on God's word, and you're building on his word and giving your life that new life that he promises you through Scripture. But if you build with wood, hay, stubble, guess what happens? Those burn. And if you're building on your own intellect, your own humanism, all those things that you think you can do and not need Christ to be part of it, that those things will be burned up. And he says, you'll be saved. But boy, did you lose a lot of blessings because you didn't get the concept that you have to build on the sure foundation, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So as you build your life as a Christian, remember to build on Jesus, his word, and the Holy Spirit will continue to guide you to live that life that is set apart for him. Sanctification is a hard process, isn't it? We continue to go day to day to day being sanctified by the Lord. That means separated for his use and from the world. And it's a never-ending process. But one of the days is when you come before the Lord at the Bema seat. He's going to hold you accountable for the works you did, good or bad. And he's going to pass them through that spiritual fire. And hopefully, everything we've done sincerely before the Lord reaches the other side, and then we get the crowns and the blessings and the rewards of living a quality life in heaven. Okay? So point number two, the day of judgment will be universal. Believers and unbelievers all have to face the judgment seat. Okay, lastly, the day of judgment will be a day of revealing. Look at verse 16. These are the grumblers, okay, the apostates, those that defect from the truth, finding fault, following after their own lust. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining an advantage. You see these speakers on television. You see these speakers all over the place, right, trying to deceive people on YouTube. And you see them, right, on social media all over the place, spilling out and spewing out the lies against God's word. When you see them, these are people who are complainers. In other words, there's never enough money. There's never enough that I need. I always have to get more and more and more. So they bring in prosperity doctrines. They bring in all these other issues. And these men, right, find fault following after their own lust. In other words, it's all about me and myself and I. And this is where we have to use great discernment. Why? Because so many people in their walk with Christ start well, but don't finish the race. And that's why the Bible tells us to test all the spirits. There's a lot of people who are arrogant, and right away you can spot them, right? When you see them, there's grumblers and going after their own lust, speaking arrogantly. But what we have to be careful in the last days with these apostates and with the ungodly is that they come in appearing as angels of light, then they bring forth their false doctrine, and people eat it up, hook, line, and sinker. Throughout all the ages, remember, there's always something new, but it's the same cat in different stripes when it comes to apostasy. They will teach you lie after lie after lie, and after a while, people buy it because it's been told so long, and they follow after these lies. And so, Jude noticed that all the methods of these apostates were always with their words. You notice that? It was all about what they deceive people with. That's why in the last days as a church, we have to be very aware of all these signs, of all the words that are spoken that are blasphemous against God, because so many people get lured into security. After a while, some people think, oh, he's cool, I've known him forever. Then all of a sudden, he changes. Those are defectors. Those are the ones that leave the truth of God and therefore deceive many people. We have to be aware of what's going on. Don't follow man, in other words, put your eyes on Christ. And one of the things that will happen, you will see that as Christ begins to reveal these apostates, these ungodly people, you'll learn to use discernment, because you can get comfortable thinking everything's copacetic, everything's nice, this guy has been there forever. But we need to keep praying for our pastors. How many of you know that? All the pastors in our city that are really godly and going after the heart of God, we need to be continually lifting them up to not fall. Because remember, the key for every Christian is the perseverance of the saints. One of the things is we have to finish what God started in our lives, and he will be faithful to complete it according to Scripture. But there are so many guys, even if possible, the elect, that are falling away by the wayside because we take our eyes off the Lord and we don't press forward to the prize, to Christ, the foundation. If we keep going forward and not taking our eyes off Christ and his word, we're going to make it. We're going to be strengthened. We're going to be able to finish the race that he started. Just like Paul the Apostle said, I finished the race. I fought the good fight, right? And this is part of why we study Scripture, so we won't be left off guard. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard it is coming, and now is already in the world. It's here. And if they say Jesus is not Lord, Jesus is not Messiah, if they change what he said and wrote in the last days, those are Antichrist. The word has been said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away, the Lord said. It cannot be twisted, it cannot be distorted. Even if he started off the race well, he has to finish the race well. Why? So that he won't deceive other people, and other people will not get lost in deception. That's why studying the word in the last days is very important. As believers, remember, we have to discern what is legitimate and what is not. And we have to continue to be in the word continually so we won't get led away or astray by blind teachers. If you follow a blind teacher long enough, you're going to end up with him in a ditch, because blind teachers will lead you to the pit. And this is what you have to learn. We have to continually be upon the word of God to discern. Look at what it says. They're grumblers, complainers, people who never have enough. And people who are complainers and people who are never satisfied are people who are not thankful for what the Lord has given. You and I should always remain thankful. Like I told you, plenty of people with big homes, but they're just houses. It's the family that lives inside that house that makes it a home. The presence of God, the peace of God, the provision of God. See, you can accumulate all you want, but if Jesus is not part of it, it's vanity and it's empty. You need to remember always to be thankful. Always. just your health to get you to church here today. Thank you, Lord. Even though my bones were cracking this morning, I praised them. I said, thank you, Lord, for bringing me to church. There's so much to be thankful for. And the main thing, he saved us. And he will not pour out his full wrath upon his children. He will give grace at the end for those that believed him and obeyed him and his word. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Isn't that correct? So today I remind you, Judgment Day is coming. And one of the things is that you have to remain connected to the gospel. You have to remain connected to the word. There is no way by which a Christian man can serve God except to please him in all things. That's what God called us to do. See, and these people, these apostates, they will answer to God greatly. Okay, so if you've been walking with the Lord for a while now, you've noticed strange winds of doctrines come and go, and they're always going to come and go. In the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, we've seen holy barking, holy laughter. We've seen all these doctrines that have come into the church and they go away. But they come back. Why? Satan doesn't stop working. And the things that we've seen throughout the years, right? The teachings that Christians can be demon-possessed, all these other things, they're continually at work. Why? Satan doesn't rest. He wants to take as many people and deceive them. So we have to remember those strange doctrines are still the same cat, just in different stripes, and they will make it sound great. But anyone who twists that word of God, you make sure you hold them accountable and do not follow their ways. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. Are we seeing that now? More and more. In the last days which we're in, people are turning away from sound doctrine now. As a matter of fact, they call you a legalist now because you're teaching hell, sin, the payment of sin, all those things that preachers don't want to preach about because they lose members. But we have to understand that's the way the apostates work, the ungodly. They will twist the word of God to get you entertained in church, not taught. Because if you're not taught, you will be deceived. And one of the things that's the job of the enemy, to destroy the church and destroy it from within. Always remain in the truth of God. Always keep your eyes on God, even when the storms of life come. Even when the challenges, new variants, all these other things that come. Our God does not change. And he will keep us safe throughout it. He's proven that time and time again. No weapon formed against you will prosper when it's initiated by ungodly and apostate people. God will always persevere in the truth. Remember, he's not a liar. He will always guard us. And yes, we might go through difficult times, right, with that new variant that they're planning or whatever comes. But because our word is a sure foundation, we don't have to fear anyone. Especially not corrupted government. We don't have to fear corrupted people. We fear the Lord, the pure and holy God of Israel. Amen? And so today I remind you, as we're studying about Judgment Day, will you prepare? Will you be ready? Will your family be ready? That's one of the things we have to do, is invest in those lives. Keep your eyes upon the Lord. Remember, these people are only interested in gratifying their own lusts. But remember what Jesus and the apostles have taught us, and remain in that truth. The word of God is the answer to all things, all the dangers we face from corrupted humanity. And he will cause all things to work together for good for those that love him. How many believe that this morning? Amen. Let's stand up. I'd like the worship group to come up. Preparing for Judgment Day, right? Keep in the word. Keep studying. Do not stray away from the truth of God's word. We're going to partake of the Lord's Supper together. And as we do, thank him right there where you're at for what he's done for you, to deliver you from the power of sin and Satan and death. And then once you have your elements, then we'll all partake together. Thank him for all he's done for us. And continue to press forward. He's coming soon. Be ready. All right? The Lord's cross reminds us that even his crucifixion was planned and calculated. And he had to do that in order to save us. It did happen historically. We know that. And we have the Lord in our hearts now to even give more proof to that, above everything else that we have proof of. Okay, then the Lord also reminds us that it'll be universal. But he provided grace and mercy for those that believe, that he died in our place to save us from our sins. Don't forget the beating he took in order to save you. And don't trample on the blood of Christ. Live your life in a way that honors him. And then, the day of God, the judgment day, will be a day of revealing. No one can hide anything. Everything will be brought forth, and he will know us completely, where nothing is hidden. We will all come transparent before him. Be ready. And thank him for what he did in order to provide the grace and the mercy to save you. So as we get together today, I want us to go to 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 26. And let's prepare our hearts to be in the midst of the Lord. Right there where you're at, just thank him for a little bit. And then pray for your families to get saved, that no one be left behind, and that God grant us the grace we need to get through every temptation, every trial, every single test we go through here in this world. And that we will continue to persevere till the very end. The Lord said in 1 Corinthians 11:23, "For I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's eat in gratitude, and let's be prepared when he comes. In the same manner, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The cleansing blood of Christ that has pronounced you not guilty. Drink in appreciation and live in gratitude of the blood that he shed for you and for me. Let's drink with thankfulness. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Father, we thank you that you are, Lord, a God of many warnings, a God of much mercy and goodness to all your creation. As we come today, this beautiful day you've allowed us to be able to worship you in spirit and in truth, we ask you, Father, to continue to grant us the grace we need to get through this fallen world and not to give up, but to keep persevering, to keep teaching your truth, so that all of us one day will be in heaven with you. I pray blessing upon every home, every family. I pray you give them the strength they need to keep going forward and to always keep their eyes on you, Lord. You're the only one with the power to never change. And so, Father, we come together, giving you our hearts, our minds, our spirits, our souls, Father. And we ask you, Father, to just take us in those powerful hands that have created this world, this universe, and continue to shield us from all evil, from all harm, so that we will finish the race strong and we will finish the good fight. We love you. We praise you. We thank you for this beautiful morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.